Hey everybody, this is John Maroon, President Maroon PR. Thank you for once again tuning into Spin is a Four-Letter Word, the Maroon PR podcast. This year, we are calling our podcast The Brew, because you'll be hearing from all of our teammates about how they do their jobs, how they brew success for our clients. So hopefully you'll get some great takeaways that you can apply to your business. We appreciate you listening. And please give us a follow at Maroon PR and let us know what you think, if there's any topics that you want to hear about. Thanks, and here's The Brew.
Welcome back to a brand new episode of The Brew. My name is Rocco DeSangro, and I will be hosting this episode and I guess episodes from here on out, right guys?
Yeah.
So there you go. I am the Director of Business Development and Partnerships here at Maroon PR. I was an account director, changing roles, and I'm really looking forward to it. And joining me at this table we're recording this podcast at is our COO, Jen Renahan. Hello. And our Vice President of Social Strategy and Content, Amanda Sarver.
Hello.
Jen, Amanda, looking forward to this topic. We're talking TikTok and 2025 social trends. And TikTok's obviously a big one because it was banned, then it wasn't banned. And everybody thought that this app that is used by so many influencers was going away. And snap of the fingers, it's back. But what we're going to talk about in this episode is your own channels, your owned media and whatnot, diversification and how you can better do that going forward as far as not limiting yourself to one app or one topic with your brand. And trends we expect to see in 2025 and beyond, because that is a big topic of conversation right now. So guys, let's jump into it. Looking forward to this brand new episode, and here we go. Let's begin right now with ownership and just investing time and resources into those digital assets that you own. What have you guys seen kind of over the years and how to best do this?
Yeah, Rocco, I think, you know, those of us who have been in this space for a while, we've seen this as an ever-changing landscape, whether it's a ban on an app, which was new for TikTok, certainly, but, you know, new apps that pop up, trends that emerge, and, you know, the importance of really knowing where your audience is and making sure that you are up to date on those trends and really putting your resources towards the ones that can benefit you most.
Yeah, and I mean, it's no secret that over the last 10 years, organizations, brands, individuals have invested so much time and resources in social media, and that has really shaped the owned media landscape that we talk about, right? But it's important, especially because what we saw with TikTok over the last couple of months, to understand that you can be investing in platforms that you actually own as a company versus a social media platform that's owned by somebody else. And also really spending time to diversify where you're putting your resources and where you're growing your audience, to Amanda's point of, you know, finding the audience where they are.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know, you know, at Maroon PR, we talk about earned, owned, and paid media, and owned, as Jen said, being the platforms that you own. So that's your social media, that's a blog, that's your website, that's, if you have a podcast, that's your email marketing, the things that you control, that you put out, and that you own, so that, you know, whether a ban happens or not, you've got your hand in multiple places and able to reach your audience where they are.
Right, and it's kind of interesting because going back to like what you actually own, you technically don't own your social, like your Meta channels or your TikTok, because it could be taken away if the company changes, right? We saw it with Twitter changing hands, and now it's X, right? So like there was uncertainty when that happened. So it's just a really interesting topic to think about the content that you actually own. And, you know, there's something to be said about having a website, having a blog, making sure your content is being published places that you truly do own and can cultivate followers and a community in that way too.
Right. And the importance of diversifying, just so that if one goes down, you're not losing your entire strategy. You're not losing your entire audience. You know, to recap, we had the potential for a TikTok ban. It was banned. It shut down for about 12 hours. It was back online due to an executive order. And now, you know, that was a 75-day delay. So we may see TikTok be banned again come April 5th. We'll have to see what happens, whether they extend the executive order or they appeal the law. We'll have to see what happens, or, you know, ByteDance divests. But, you know, that ban and how we've been communicating internally and with our clients is kind of what sparked this topic for the podcast. And, you know, I know that Jen, we've talked about how diversifying, you know, you don't want to split all of your resources to be in so many places at once. But we talk a lot about how an agency can help be an extension of your team and really be the driving force for you and add those team members so that you can effectively be strategic in these different places. And that's something I think we do very well and we're best suited for with our clients when we can be an extension of their team and help them, you know, with extending where they are.
With some clients will focus on, you know, maybe it's just one platform. With a lot of clients recently, and I know we'll get into this, you know, we've been spending a lot of time on LinkedIn because it's a platform that a lot of clients don't necessarily thought it'd be a place for them. And we're working through and focusing, you know, specifically within that platform for a client, or with some clients we'll help them with the content creation and strategy for all of the platforms that they're on.
Obviously, social media is a big part of your marketing strategy and certainly the front face of your company and of your brand. And so we want to make sure that we're putting our best foot forward there. We're leading with great content. Video is still king, as we see. So we encourage a lot of video content shoots, which we do well, and you know, creating those short form, as we're seeing with Reels and TikTok and YouTube Shorts, those things being really effective and engaging for the audience, something you want to bring value and you want to entertain where you can and inform, and video is a great way to do that.
I guess social media used to be so frowned upon. Like, people would look at it and say, oh no, I'm not going to get my news here, or not going to do this or that here. I'm going to go to local TV or national TV and watch the news. But now it's such an important part of what we do. For both of you, just how have you seen this whole thing evolve? Because from a client perspective, they might have been just, oh, you know, I want to go down the media path. Like, I'd rather just try to get a local TV station, do an interview here, secure this here. I don't want anything to do with social media or TikTok or this or that. How have you been able to get the clients on board? Have there been challenges in that sense? Has it been easy to do? Especially when you look at someone who's had a business for maybe like 30 years and they've never done social media. What is the way that you go to them and approach them and say, hey, like, this could really help your company and your business and your brand going forward?
Sure. I mean, I think it's definitely evolved over for sure in the last 10 years. And I think there was in the beginning a little bit of like, oh, well, this social media thing, it's not going to stay, right? You know, do I really invest my time? It's just a trend, right? Mm-hmm. And so we've seen it become established. And I think part of that is when you see news outlets starting to use it, that helped authenticate, right, social media. And then when you see influencers and creators starting to build their own communities and you see influence within that space, for us, it became an extension of public relations and getting your message out to micro communities, macro communities, however you see fit. And really using, I think we started a lot too with just merging and paying attention to what news outlets were doing with social as a way to help, you know, help legitimize what companies can be doing on social media as well. But so in terms of getting clients on board with social and how we grew that, you know, there are some clients and some marketing teams that really embraced it out of the gate. And for us, it was capitalizing on that, right? And then trying to figure out, again, improving. I think proving was a big part of what we had to do early on of, here's the metrics, here's how many followers you have, here's how they're engaging. And we still do that today.
The analytics is an important piece of that.
And I think as the analytics grew with social, it became easier to show, you know, CEOs, et cetera, the importance of these channels and how to use them effectively.
Sure. Yeah, and we've seen that huge flip, you know, and I think Maroon PR has done a great job of staying on the cutting edge of that and of adjusting accordingly. And we talk about, you know, public relations is more than just media relations. And this social media presence, your owned media presence, is such a big part of that. And in 2022, TikTok became the most downloaded app in the world. You know, that's a social media app, right? So really is a contrast to how it used to be and where we're going, where we're headed.
All right, let's move on and talk about the diversification aspect of TikTok and just social media in general, because there is a platform for every business out there, and it might not be one or the other. It might be multiple, but you got to find that right fit at times. And I feel like when a new app pops up, there's a fear within people. They're like, I don't want to use it wrong, or I want to do this thing the right way rather than just jumping right in. Like, I remember when Threads came out, like, I was terrified to use it. I was like, do I use this like X? Do I use this like I would on Facebook? Like how are you supposed to use these things? But when you talk about the diversification factor of TikTok and all these apps, what would you tell people out there in this field and just clients in general about, because there's so many out there, you have Instagram, you have Threads, you have Blue Sky, you have Lemonade, which I've never even heard of before, but we're talking about it right now. How do you best utilize everything? Because I feel like in this field and beyond, you really want to be that true Swiss Army knife and use all the platforms to the best of your abilities, but it's not necessarily easy to do.
Right. And you can't be everywhere at all at once necessarily. And so that's why, you know, we try to be strategic in advising our clients about, first, you've got to know who your audience is and find out where your audience is. And, you know, these new things that pop up, we're always making sure that we're staying on top of those trends and that, you know, certainly go ahead and reserve your handle when you see one pop up, because you never know what's going to become the next TikTok, right? But I caution our clients to, you know, not overextend too much, not need to be putting everything everywhere. And so, you know, we've seen a slow and steady kind of increase on Threads, and that's something that we're watching. We have some clients on there. Blue Sky, when X changed ownership, we saw a lot of news media and reporters moving over to Blue Sky, which has a different structure. It's not owned by one person. And X certainly is still important, especially with our sports clients. We see a lot of conversations still happening on Twitter and or X. And then Lemonade was one of those things where it's like, okay, TikTok's going to be banned, but we still have Lemonade, which is also owned by ByteDance. So could be subject to the same kind of restrictions that we've seen with TikTok. But it really is about knowing where your audience is and knowing how to engage with them. And, you know, we advise clients to maintain a presence, but not necessarily move all your resources into one place or another, and to really continue to meet your audience where they are and provide informative and entertaining content.
Yeah. And, you know, looking most recently, you know, with the TikTok situation, you saw Instagram try to keep up with that, right? And
yeah,
with followers, you know, for creators and people jumping ship from TikTok, Instagram did see a bump, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then they're trying to, you know, edit their product to make it more user-friendly, that I think everyone enjoyed about TikTok.
Yeah, right? They're definitely trying to copy that model and to capture the magic of what's going on in TikTok to try to drive people to Instagram.
But I think that's a good example of diversification. So if we had a client that was using TikTok, hopefully they were also using Instagram.
Yeah.
Because it was because it is similar in nature in terms of videos and right being able to produce reels and right and that kind of thing. So that's one kind of thought process of, okay, well, if you were on TikTok, if it goes away, well, your community, you can embrace Instagram, right, and just try to see how that works
reels,
for you,
yeah.
Right, as a creator.
It was, I remember one of the clients we were looking to lock in. It was, they had such a big social media following, one of the influencers that we secured on both. It was Instagram, probably like 200 to 300,000 followers, and TikTok. So we wanted to get two for the price of one, basically. But when TikTok went away, it did go away for that short period of time. They were only able to post on Instagram. So these things are going to happen with social media. And I feel like being on all the platforms definitely helps in that sense, because if one does go down, you have the following on the other, or you can build your following on the other. But it was so funny to see some of the TikTok users, they went over to you could tell the ones that kind of came over to the Instagram side and they were trying to figure it out for the first time, but they did really good job. People are, you know, they have the ability to grow their following quickly if they get it. The algorithm, like you talk about all the time, Amanda, you just have to, it's more than just specifically just posting or throwing something out there. Like, there's strategic ways to go about it. And the trends, they're a big deal, and following those trends are super important. And, you know, would love to talk to you both about that. Just with TikTok aside, what additional trends are we seeing and expecting to kind of see this year in social media? Because one of the videos I really liked, and it was, pretty sure it was from the Baltimore Country Club, when they did, I think it was the GM sitting down and they had everyone behind them, and he was like, if you can tell who's talking right now or their voice. So it was really cool to see that, but that was a trend and people use that. So it was everywhere. Kind of what trends are you guys expecting to see this year, I'd say?
Yeah, I think to your point, Rocco, as we've said, this is an ever-evolving landscape. It's always changing. Yeah. God bless social media managers who are always having to adjust.
Tough world out there.
And, you know, that ability to pivot is a skill. You have to have that. You have to be able to adjust. And there's a lot of trial and error involved, too, you know. I think one thing when we're talking about trends and seeing things kind of flip on its head. A couple days ago, Nielsen came out and said that viewing of YouTube on television has now surpassed mobile and desktop. So people are watching YouTube on TV more than they're watching it on their phones or mobile devices, their computers. We're seeing a lot of sports creators and, you know, things like straight up shows and podcasts on YouTube, like Hot Ones with the Buffalo Wings being one that's really, really kind of created a model there. And producing your podcasts and being able to see the people as they're discussing. And just knowing that, like Nielsen said, that YouTube's share of TV usage among streaming platforms is the highest. It's higher than Netflix. YouTube's is 11.1% right now, and compared to Netflix's 8.5%. So that's, I mean, that's a wild thing. And 10 years ago, you would have never expected that YouTube would be, you know, the watch time on television. As we see with the popularity of YouTube Shorts, that's a trend, you know, that we've been seeing and that we're seeing continue to increase as people really like to consume media in that TikTok kind of
again, that's another style. Way that that YouTube is trying to keep up with.
Right. Exactly.
The trend that YouTube is set that TikTok is set.
With I know local TV will be there until it's not. And it's super beneficial to still be able to, again, secure interviews and use it to the best of your ability. But worked with a guy in Huntsville, Alabama. His name was Jerry Hayes. He's a good Southern man. He's there for 40 years. I went up to him one day because I saw the trends and I saw everything evolving with social media, and everyone was getting their information on the phone. Mm-hmm. It's like, hey, Jerry, like, what is the biggest thing you've seen change over the years? And he anchored the 6 and the 10 in Huntsville. He's a legend there. He just holds up his phone and he goes, the sign grow in his Southern voice. He's like, the days of saying at 10 p.m. when you log off for the night, you'll have the latest at 6 tomorrow, they're done. Mm-hmm. They're over.
It's a 24-hour cycle.
It is a 24-hour cycle because now anybody can go live with their phone. They can talk on their phone. They can bring you the latest news on their phone. You have reporters from all 4 local news stations here in Baltimore that are going off and tweeting before they're able to even go live, and they might go live 4 hours later. So it is so important to stay on top of social media. I mean, again, my dad was a guy who swore against it. He's like, I'm never doing this. And now that's where he gets all his news. So you got to evolve with the times as much as you might hate it, as much as you might love it. Like, this is the way things are trending right now. And you don't want to be left behind if you're a business, if you're just a human being. Get on board, because it's the way things are going right now with TikTok, with Instagram, with Facebook, with X, with all of these platforms right now.
You know, platform that we mentioned earlier, LinkedIn, is definitely
huge
and, you know, continues to grow as its own platform. And even recently, as like, you know, last week, I started to look into the B2B, which LinkedIn is traditionally, right, it's traditionally a B2B type of platform of, you know, B2B influencers, which we haven't really ever scratched the surface of, but like thinking about, and Rocco, you and John, you know, and I had a conversation about like a business influencer, right? Like, and having an influencer that is just sharing these great information about, you know, small businesses and different trends in small businesses, right? So all that to say, like, LinkedIn is just a spot that I think we're going to continue to see to grow. And then that B2B type of influencer strategy, I think, is going to
absolutely
pop up more.
And an important part of what we've been kind of educating our clients on and working with them has been the employee advocacy on LinkedIn as well, and how important that is, where your employees have a network 10 times larger than what the business or organization may have, and the importance of them being engaged and sharing your content and having their own voice as well. And I think that speaks also, Rocco, to kind of what you're saying, where the people who are influential in these spaces can be anyone now. It's not just your news anchors or your media people, and companies are seeing the importance of their employees as brand ambassadors and influential in these spaces. And, you know, we're seeing that a lot of success with working with influencers, whether that's as we're scratching the surface with B2B on LinkedIn, but certainly for a long time, we've been embracing this for years and years, embracing this on Instagram and Facebook and Twitter and all these different places, and we see a lot of success with, it could be small creators, what we call micro or macro creators and influencers who can be really effective at raising brand awareness, at driving sales, getting people mm-hmm. into spaces, being impactful for your business and even like your presence and gaining new followers.
Yeah. And I think you see, going back to kind of legitimizing social media, right? Mm-hmm. We're seeing much more of legitimate influencers and legitimizing their work. And you see it now becoming as in paid strategies, right? So, And it's a big part of what we do here. We're no longer just asking influencers to come and show up at an event and post, you know, and do their thing for free. You know, we're really,
it's a part of the budget.
It's part of the budget. Mm-hmm. And that has been, you know, a challenge when it comes to from the client perspective of getting clients to understand that there needs to be a paid budget to support if you're really going to dive in and use influencers. You know, there's a time and place to get influencers to cover something because, mm-hmm. you know, they might just want to cover it and it's a really cool initiative. But being like super intentional with influencers and wanting the content, wanting them to create specific content, you know, you do have to look at it from a paid perspective. And I think that is only a trend that's going to continue to grow, and making sure that we're using influencers appropriately. And Amanda, you've kind of spent some time recently.
Yeah, absolutely. I think a question that we get when we're talking about trends, you know, for this year and beyond, a question that we get from clients is, the influencer space too saturated? Is it still effective? And we're seeing, as Jen said, like it's just growing. It continues to grow. What we're seeing maybe is a shift. And what I think, you know, I've identified as a trend, if you will, for 2025 is authenticity on social media. And I think we're seeing that these micro and macro influencers and content creators who have really earned the trust of their audiences and earned the trust of, you know, especially these local people that we see, they've built this audience on trust and really giving their opinions and being authentic to who they are and building that space where people feel connected. It feels like a relationship. And I think that authenticity is a great place to focus and look towards for this year and years to come, is, you know, really having those authentic connections and people that you trust that you can follow to be these sources for you of recommendations, of news, of business, of where to spend your money, frankly, and finding those people that align with you where you're like, oh yeah, if they like that, I'm going to try that out too.
Right. It's the third party endorsement, right? That mm-hmm. continues to be, you know, trusted when you get a media, you know, story in the media.
Yeah. I mean, we'll probably do a whole podcast episode on influencers and influencer right. relationships.
Really,
but
should.
That's certainly, you know, a trend that we expect to continue to see growth in. You know, I think another area that we've touched on, and we'll probably have a whole other episode about, is AI and the use of AI and the trial and error of that mm-hmm. and of learning how to utilize that effectively. You know, it's a good thought partner. We've talked about it, using it for brainstorming and things like that. We're certainly not in any way replacing the human element. And we see that time and time again, that's something that can't be replaced, especially when you're looking at what some of these AI videos or AI creations, like we have an in-house videographer and editor and designer, and their work is miles and miles and miles ahead of those AI creations. And so, you know, experimenting to figure out where it's effective and to use. And certainly that's a trend that everyone's talking about is the use of AI.
Yeah.
But doing that thoughtfully and being able to guide our clients on what can be most effective in that space.
Yeah. And the authenticity note, I know Emma and I spoke two episodes ago, video podcast, about that authenticity that, you know, you need to be careful with when looking at AI, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
And really, you know, when you look at video production and video content, right, you know, there are ways, it's so easy for our clients to be helping us with the content, right? And so it's easy because we have phones, because you have so many employees within your company, and using them to help create content and generate content for you as an organization, we think is super powerful. And we try Absolutely. To do that a lot with our clients, and then handing all that content over to us to make it, you know, to polish it up a little bit. But at the end of the day, it's still that authentic voice that, you know, comes from an employee or from inside the company.
Yeah.
I think that type of content is only going to continue to grow too.
Yeah. And to build on that, I think, you know, something that we always encourage our clients when we're talking about social media strategy is a content first approach mm-hmm. and really focusing on the content, letting that drive, you know, how many times do I post a week? How much do I do? Well, let's let the content dictate that. Let's mm-hmm. create really great engaging content and lead with that and really focus there. You know, we know that video is still king, and we're mixing in animations and graphics and photos. And like you said, Jen, everyone's got that phone in their hand. And so you've got these advocates and content mm-hmm. creators just within your own walls, and how to utilize that effectively so yep. that, you know, we've got this continuous stream of content coming from the people on the ground.
I thought we were going to have flying cars and, you know, crazy technology, and we're on our way right now, 2025 and beyond. Instead, we have AI influencers, and TikTok's back for now. So it's very promising. Again, great episode, guys. I think it was fantastic. But to wrap things up, we just want to encourage our clients out there to have that content first approach, because at the end of the day, that is what's going to help really drive your business now and beyond, because it's a platform that everyone has a phone. Not everyone has a TV anymore, but everyone does have a phone. So that's the way that people are going to be able to find out about your business, see your business, and you're going to be able to deliver those great messages and whatnot, because that's exactly what you want to do. And You guys have anything to wrap up?
Yeah, we touched on it earlier, but, you know, the services we do provide from an agency perspective, we really can help with that content, right, approach and taking some of the mm-hmm. burden off of your internal teams, video and graphic design and strategy and copy, right? There's a lot to do when it comes to content, and it should not just be left to one person within an organization that might have seven other roles from a marketing or PR perspective. It is an area that we really enjoy working with clients on, and invite other businesses and companies to check us out if content is a struggle or something that seems a little daunting.
Or that you need to expand.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and I think just reiterating the importance of having a strategic presence on multiple platforms, using your owned channels effectively, and, you know, investing in good content, as we said, so that, you know, whatever comes next, we're ready for, we can pivot easily and continue to evolve in the ever-changing landscape that is social media and the digital world.
Absolutely. And if you want to learn more about us, if you're out there listening on platforms, it's maroonpr.com. You can visit and you can check out all of our social media profiles. It's maroonpr, Amanda, correct me if I'm wrong, on everything. I think I follow all of them. So if you're listening out there, you absolutely should as well. But for Amanda Sarver and Jen Renahan, I'm Rocco DeSango. Thank you so much for listening to a brand new episode of The Brew. We'll see you next time.
Hey, it's John Maroon again. Thank you for listening to Spin is a Four-Letter Word. And just a reminder, if you can, follow us on all the major social media platforms at Maroon PR. If you have an idea or suggestion, let us know what you think, and we'll see you soon.